We're going to look at Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 22. 1 through 22. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able to, from these stones, raise up children from Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized by him. Teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers asked him, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water. But he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked John up in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. I don't know about you, but that gets me a little fired up. Reading about the coming of the Messiah. But what's interesting about the Messiah is the person who comes before Messiah. The last great prophet prior to the coming of Jesus. Now, boldness in preaching and praying, I believe, is something that is lacking in today's church and follower of Christ. Some of the synonyms of the word bold are fearless, courageous, brave, daring. These help define John's preaching. I have a feeling when you call a bunch of people, you brood of vipers back in the first century, you were pretty daring. You were pretty bold. You have a lot of audacity to be able to say that. But even more than John's preaching was his living, because John practiced what he preached. While we might be able to preach boldly within the confines of our own home and church, what about when we hit the streets? What about when we go to the streets? What about when we go to our school? What about when we go to our job? What about when we're just out and about doing stuff? Peter Nanfeld, a former president of the Christian Missionary Alliance, said that we don't live what we believe, we live what we value. And what we value is seen in our lives from day to day. Do we value weather or sports or other people's careers more than Jesus? You might, well, that's a stupid thing to say. But when we talk to somebody, what do we talk to them about the most? Think about it. Hey, Weather's kind of nasty out. It snowed yesterday. What do you think about the weather? We're going for a half hour talking about the snow. It's Iowa. It snows. That's just what happens, okay? It doesn't have to be broken down. You know, as you know, I kind of like athletic sports, okay? I kind of like that. But what drives me nuts is when you watch a sports channel, they break down everything that has happened and might happen. Like, I watch the game, I understand. I don't really care the future because you guys are normally wrong anyway. I mean, so you... anyway. But we really, you know, we talk about a lot of other things other than Jesus, even when believers get together. We talk about other things than the one who created us. We talk about other issues than the one who saved us. We talk about other issues than the glorious God of the universe. If we have good news, why don't we proclaim it to one another and to those who need to hear it? I'm talking to myself, so you're going to have to just listen as I talk to myself for the next few minutes, okay? Because I have a feeling that all of us can relate to what is going on today and what ought to go on in our lives personally and as we approach people on a day-to-day basis. You know, and some people, well, I'm just trying to build relationships so I can, you know, talk about Jesus eventually. I agree with that. I have no problem with that, but where does it fall short? It falls short because all we do is talk about the weather and sports and careers and family and dogs and, you know, whatever the issue might be. That's where it seems to kind of stay at times. Not as a general, that's not always specifically. But I believe that we need to go the extra mile and begin to talk about Jesus and pray ahead of time if you know that you're going to go out, especially like, you know, give us this day our daily bread. Why? Why do I pray that? Because I don't know what the day holds. I have no idea. God does, because I don't know what the future holds. And what's the song say? But I know who holds the future. So God, give me this day the daily bread, because I know that I'm going to run into a situation that I don't know what's going to happen. But if you know ahead of time that you're gonna maybe go to a Christmas thing with family who don't know Christ, you pray ahead of time. Give me an opportunity to speak boldly about why we do what we do at this time. Or maybe you're going to be at work. God, give me an opportunity to, you know, share the gospel. Because people are thinking about these things. You know, most of it seems to be controversial anymore. But people are really, if people were not thinking about spiritual issues, we would have no controversy at this time of year. But they are. It gets to the ludicrous. Like we were talking a little bit in Sunday school. You know, the governor of Rhode Island is not calling the Christmas tree the Christmas tree. He's called the holiday tree. I'm thinking, who cares what you call it? I don't think God's up there wringing his hands about, oh, they quit calling the Christmas tree, now it's a holiday tree. When you think about what the word holiday, anyway, if you break it down, it means holy day. So, I mean, okay, whatever. You know, I'm thinking, there are more important things than what we call a tree. Okay? There's people's lives and souls at stake. Not, you know, the tree, most of the trees that are set up are going to die anyway. Not to be rude, but, you know. But I believe we need to preach and live boldly as John the Baptist did. This, to me, is incredibly, the first few verses alone are humbling to me because John put himself out there. He put himself out there. He didn't look like a normal, average, first century guy because he was dressed like a prophet. He had camel's hair, belt, and he ate locusts. I can't. Chocolate covered. And you didn't tell me. I might do it. But it might look like an almond, so I'm allergic to almonds, so I might pass on it. So I don't know.
But I believe there are two parts to John's preaching just in this particular passage. It might be more, but I picked out two. Is that, first of all, the preaching of repentance. And there's a lot of stuff in here, so we're probably going to get to this point and this point alone. But let's look, first of all, the times in which John preached and what year it was. We know